So I'm Debbie Hain. I am probably the most unknown person on the stage today. I moved to Poland just in January this year, which I think everyone here can agree, the best time to move to Poland is January. Amazing weather. It's been fantastic. It's been such an adventure. I joined the Developer Experiences team from Redmond, and where I lived for 10 years. And before that, I'm a Minnesota girl. No one knows where that is, although if you do, I'm very impressed. So why did I come to Poland? That is the first question everybody asks me. Why Poland? Do you have Polish heritage? Do you speak the language? Do you like pierogies? And usually my answer is pretty simple, is I knew nothing about Poland. And I thought, that seems really exciting to go to a place you know nothing about. You get to build your own adventure. You get to learn it all with the people who know and love it already. And also the language. Ugh. I wish someone had told me it was the hardest language to learn, but I'm getting better. I have one phrase that I've gotten very good at, and that is, give me a second here, because I say this just about every day. Trochę rozumiem po polsku, ale mówię po polsku niezbyt dobrze. The other thing I do often with my team, and they're pretty amused by it all, is I come into the office after I've learned something, and I'm like a kindergartner. I'm like, oh, I can count to 10. And they immediately make me do it, but then they make me hurry and go faster. It's so hard. So I'm here today because of the same reason you all are here. I love technology, and I'm excited about the future of tech. And you look at what we've seen today, to start the day, you saw MedApp. And MedApp's coming out here and they're telling you about how they're changing the world of heart surgery, how they're gonna make the invisible visible. And you hear Josh talking about how we're connecting devices people would never have dreamt of connecting 5 years ago. Well, except maybe Josh and the OSS community. And then you just saw the .NET head-to-head competition. I think our team took a huge risk there. You never know what's gonna happen on a live demo, and it sounds like it went pretty well in here. This afternoon, we're gonna talk about DevOps. And for developers in the room, I know people always say to me, oh, DevOps isn't sexy. And I think, well, then maybe you haven't been a developer. Taking your product to your customer faster with higher quality releases, there's actually nothing sexier when you're a developer. We're gonna talk about data this afternoon. Data is near and dear to my heart. We're gonna hear how it's changing every industry, and we're gonna hear a very specific example on biological computing. And of course, we're gonna talk about bots, taking machines to solve real-life human problems. And it's really the stuff of science fiction, right? People talk about science fiction being reality. The future is now. But I would argue the future isn't now, because the future is constantly evolving. And the pace of the technological advances is ever increasing. So when I moved here in January, and someone said to me, we've got this event coming up in March, we're just not really sure who is the best person to come and speak at it, to tell Microsoft's story, to tell about how Microsoft is changing our culture, down to our very products, to help empower this evolution. Someone who deeply understands and is incredibly passionate about helping us empower it, and also about understanding how each of us inside have the capability to achieve more. And we thought, that best person is no other than Satya Nadella, our CEO and chief developer, really, that's how we think of him here. I'm looking up backstage to see if he's ready, which he might not be, because we like to build anticipation. Oh, he's not ready. He's building anticipation. Are we supposed to pretend he's not here now? Are we gonna play a joke on the audience? Oh, I like this. This is fun. All right, so I'll keep talking because I like doing that. So Satya told us he was gonna come to Poland, and we got really excited, and we started to negotiate timelines and dates, and we were saying, you know, we have this tech conference coming up. Maybe we could work it so that he comes during our tech conference. And the team's been fantastic. And he heard about what we're doing here, and he's excited to meet all of you. So, without further ado, I want to introduce you to Satya Nadella, who is in Poland for the first time ever.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's fantastic to be here in Warsaw and in Poland, and always for me, Talking to developers is something that gives me a tremendous amount of energy. So I wanted to talk a little bit about Microsoft's mission and also the work that all of you are doing, and in some sense celebrate the work that's happening around some of the new platforms we are creating. In a time like this, where every walk of life and every industry in every country is fundamentally being transformed because of digital technology, it's a phenomenal time to be developers. Because in some sense, there is no business that's not a digital business. Whether you're in healthcare, whether you're in retail, whether you're in manufacturing, all of these industries are fundamentally becoming software-driven industries. And so what you as developers do are not just going to change the high-tech business, but they're going to change the complete landscape of an economy and a society. And for us, it always starts with our mission. This backdrop of rapid digitization is what inspires us in our mission to empower every person and every organization on the planet to achieve more. Every one of these words in this mission statement has deep meaning to us. We, of course, believe in empowering people. After all, it's people who move and make things happen. But we also think of organizations and the institutions that people build, in many cases, to outlast them. For us, when we think about software, building of institutions is a first-class construct even in the software we create. We think about it, of course, in a worldwide scale. My own story wouldn't have been possible if it was not for Microsoft technology reaching me where I was growing up. And so we always think about the impact, the democratization of the platforms and the technology so that everyone can have access to it, everyone can dream of what they can do. Perhaps the most salient aspect and the most key aspect is that it's not about our platforms or our technology. Ultimately, it is about what you do with that technology, what a customer, a partner, a developer can do with the technology to drive their business forward. So that's really what inspires us. And now, in a world of digital transformation, the ability to use software to change how you interact with customers, how you empower the people inside your own organization, how you optimize all of the operations inside of your organization, and perhaps even change the very nature of the product or the service you're building and the business model is what digital technology is enabling. And to drive that transformation, we have set ourselves on course to build three broad platform opportunities for developers, and I wanted to spend the rest of my time talking about these three platforms. The first ambition of ours to drive digital transformation is reinvention of productivity and business process. Now, when you think about the abundance of what we have around us in terms of computing power, small screens, large screens, sensors everywhere you go, whether it's in the living room or in the meeting rooms, the one scarce resource is our human attention and time. And so the idea of reinvention of productivity and business process is perhaps the most critical need of the hour, because we want to be able to get more out of every moment of our life. We want to not be beholden to the various different categories that got created and the impedance that exists between them. For example, we are faced in our everyday work today in using productivity applications, communications applications, business process applications, but yet they all are siloed. What if we can break down that barrier? What if we can actually use all of these applications as one platform, one information fabric? So that's really the vision that we have when we think about reinventing productivity. We want to bring solutions that are available across all of your devices. So mobility is key. So for us, it's about being able to have your applications, your data available to you, irrespective of which device you're using. We want to be able to drive and infuse intelligence into all of these experiences, whether it is the assistant in Word or PowerPoint or Cortana that knows you, knows your work context and knows the world and is always really keeping your interests in mind as it helps you on a day-in, day-out basis. The ability for you to be able to collaborate in small teams or at scale inside the entire organization, to be able to discover information inside of an organization, to break free of any hierarchical structures you may have. Those are the kinds of things that we want to be able to build out. And of course, we also want to build the next generation of modular business applications. So it's not just about productivity and communications and collaboration, but we want to build out what to date have been classified as your CRM systems and ERP systems as business process applications that are much more modular, much more integrated into how you work, which is mostly in communications and productivity software. And then, of course, we want to be able to do all of this in a secure, compliant way, because the real world needs are such that you cannot have your data exposed, you cannot lose your data. Privacy and privacy regulation is going to matter. Many of the industries like financial sector are going to have regulatory frameworks that need to be complied with. And so building out this next generation of communications, productivity, and business process applications, but doing it in a compliant security manner is a very important priority for us. Now, you could say, well, all these tools or this platform is very rich, but ultimately, the goal of putting all of these tools in place is so that you can drive a change in culture. Inside of Microsoft itself, for example, we are trying to break down the silos of information. So when I go to delve and look at a profile of an individual, I'm not really looking at what that person has sent me, but I'm able to visualize work that is happening around that person. That's not an org structure view. It is, in fact, a view of how work is actually happening inside the company. Or when I send a piece of email saying I'll follow up with a customer, and Cortana wakes up and reminds me of a commitment I made in a communications channel, that to me is changing the way I track work, keep up with my work. The idea that I have metrics now that are being off, sent to me, not as dead spreadsheets, but as PowerPoint, in PowerPoint, but it is Power BI so that it's an open canvas for asking questions. We are creating a complete data culture inside of the company. So really the tools drive culture, culture drives the tools. That's really what the pursuit here is. Now, one of the other things as developers that is very interesting is as things move to the cloud, so as companies, customers move to Office 365, use LinkedIn, use Dynamics 365, it's not just a one-for-one functional move. If anything, the most profound thing that is happening is the data infrastructure and the data structure that is all of the relationships between people and other people, their schedules, their projects, their work artifacts, their relationships in a professional network, the business processes that they participate in other words, the workflows, are all exposed as part of this graph called the Microsoft Graph. And to you, perhaps the most strategic API that Microsoft has is the close to 85 million monthly active users of Office 365 and their data exposed by tenant with privacy and security for you to be able to extend. That is one of the most strategic things that you can take advantage of as you build your applications. And so that's what the idea of building connectors or bots or power apps and flow And embedding it within your own SaaS application is one of the big opportunities in the years to come that I hope many of you take advantage of. And in fact, right here in Poland, I was able to talk to our team and see the number of developers building these industry solutions. So you can think about an industry solution that composes on top of Office 365 data. That's a rich way for you to be able to bring the core communications and productivity data and workflow right into your industrial application or your business process application. Now, one of the things that was also great to see is a variety of customers who are already using it. And you as developers, of course, will build applications. In many cases, you're building these applications, but also extending and building third-party applications that many of these customers will buy and use and deploy. MBank, which is a digital bank, is now a user of Office 365. It's, you know, they have over 5+ million customers. They're growing their footprint beyond Poland. And as they're scaling the number of employees, the number of geographies that they operate in, one of their core needs is how do they bring teams together? How can they collaborate? How can they communicate, stay in sync? And that information fabric and that toolkit is Office 365. And another example is Intercars. They are one of the largest suppliers of spare parts. They have worked through a distribution chain with many, many distributors. And one of the things that they needed to do was to modernize that back-end infrastructure, both ERP and CRM. So they've adopted Dynamics 365 to be able to create that both system of engagement and system of record, but in fact not be captive to any of those modules, but to have one integrated suite that gives them the agility and the flexibility. And so it's fantastic to see many, many customers in Poland move to the cloud. And as I said, by moving to the cloud, they not only are getting the agility, the cost advantages, but more importantly, they're also exposing their tenant data for extensions so that every developer can take advantage of. Now, the next massive area of our investment is around building out the cloud infrastructure. I think that a lot of what's happening in this conference is all around Azure. And it's amazing to see the rapid development of the cloud infrastructure and how it's then being used by developers, exploited by developers to be able to drive the innovations that you are set out to do. Our approach to building the cloud has three very core pillars. We're building it out as a global cloud infrastructure. We have more data center regions than any other cloud provider. We operate in China under Chinese law. We operate in Germany under German law. For us, it's core that we create trust with the cloud infrastructure we are building. In fact, right here in Europe, we run 6 data center regions. We have invested over $3 billion to make sure that we have the coverage needed and running it under all of these jurisdictions. And lastly, it is about being able to even support hybrid infrastructure. Because the real world needs of distributed computing are going to be such that you will need to support an edge of the cloud. We don't think of, for example, our servers as some legacy. We think of every server of ours as the edge to the cloud infrastructure we're building, whether it's SQL Server with its StretchDB capability or Azure Stack, to us is all part of one distributed computing infrastructure. So these are the three core principles that are driving the build out of our cloud. But one of the things that you all as developers care, and a lot of what you hear at this conference, is the rich set of services that are part of Azure so that you can build your applications rapidly. We, of course, have the sophisticated infrastructure capabilities, whether it's the compute, storage, network, supporting both virtual machines as well as containers. But we also have perhaps one of the key services which is important with distributed computing, which is identity. Someone once told me that whenever things get complex in distributed computing, one of the key services that comes to rescue to help you tame that complexity is identity and how you use identity to manage all of your resources wherever they are. The operations, one of the things that you talk about DevOps, but DevOps of an IoT project is very different because you don't even have your compute just in one place or storage in one place. To be able to think about that hybrid infrastructure and the operational rigor that with which you can operate is going to be very, very key. And that's where a lot of our innovation and things like operations management suite come in. We're also building out one of the best state-of-the-art infrastructures to support developers. If you think about the key to Azure is developer productivity. So what we are doing with Visual Studio, the team services with Visual Studio, is really about ultimately enabling you as developers to be able to rapidly build what you want to build with the best debugging tools, with the best CI tools, so that you can get your job done. Now, it's not just at that core infrastructure level or the dev tools level, but also past services. I had a chance to meet with many developers today, and it was fantastic to see. If you're in the media business, you can use media services. If you are building industrial applications, in many cases, you can have the building blocks of IoT, from streaming analytics to data aggregation, all available to you as part of our IoT suite. If you're building some financial applications, you can use blockchain as a service to, in fact, help you really test out the use cases of blockchain within your own trust boundaries. If you're building a mobile application, a web application, the Azure Application Services gives you, again, a set of PaaS capability using any framework, any language that you want. So this rich fabric of developer services is what makes it possible now for any developer, any small team of developers, to be able to very rapidly build very sophisticated applications, not just for this market, but reach globally. One of the key things about infrastructure, in fact, the feedback loop between the applications you build in any generation and the infrastructure is something that we always have learned from. And so if you look at this generation of applications, the characteristic that we will talk about in years to come in all of the applications that you're building is intelligence. In other words, there is not going to be a single application that you build that's not going to reason over large amounts of data in some form and create intelligence. And to facilitate that, what we are trying to do is democratize AI. In other words, how do we help you create that intelligence as part of your application by providing you all of the building blocks? Of course, the most foundational building block is to give you the compute nodes for creation of intelligence. Of course, you have CPUs, but we have the best-in-class GPU infrastructure in Azure. We also have FPGA. In some sense, we're building out the world's first AI supercomputer so that you can, in fact, use the Azure Fabric to be able to run your algorithm at silicon speed. Now, beyond the raw infrastructure for you to be able to create your own intelligence, we have the data platform, whether it's SQL, NoSQL, any type of data storage processing capability. Something like DocumentDB has the tremendous flexibility. It's a planet-scale database that allows you to be able to collect the data and then ultimately, of course, reason over that large-scale data. We also have support for all of the popular AI frameworks. We have built CNTK to have some of the best-in-class capabilities around reinforcement learning. But we also support TensorFlow, Cafe, and all of the other frameworks so that you can deploy the AI frameworks of your choice. We also are building out these higher layer AI services, such as the bot framework, conversational interfaces on top of what your applications are doing is something that each one of you is going to look at. How do I support natural language queries? But not just a single turn natural language query, but a dialogue or a multi-turn dialogue. That ability to be able to do that interface using our bot framework is something that now we have enabled. And then, of course, the cognitive services. Microsoft has, in fact, the world record in speech recognition, image recognition, text understanding, and knowledge. And all of these are exposed now as these cognitive APIs for you to be able to call. So as a developer, the combination of these rich services and the ability to create AI has created, I think, an amazing democratized platform for you all to be able to dream up of the solutions you want to create and make them a reality. And I see that. In fact, perhaps one of the things that gave me a lot of energy today was meeting developers who are already doing this. I had a chance to meet Sunrise this morning, and they're an ISV. They're a startup that's a few years old out of Poland that's very quickly scaling. They're building the next generation marketing cloud. And as I was learning about this application and their application pattern, it turns out it's kind of like an IoT application, except it's for marketing. In other words, they're able to track every event across every channel for the customer, whether it's mobile app, it's web, it's retail, physical presence. All of that is signal that's being continuously collected, processed, and then in turn, AI is being applied, workflows are being applied to drive the experience. And so to have a startup with, they basically told me that they have like 25 or 30 developers and no salespeople. And I said, wow, that's fantastic. That's the kind of innovation. And yet they have a pipeline of 3,000 plus customers. So that ability to build out applications and scale out applications using rich technology is fantastic to see. Another example, to take another extreme, was the public sector in Poland, in this case, the water and sewer management system, is using Azure. And I was very surprised to say, what are they doing with Azure? And it turns out that there's around 3.5 kilometers of pipes right here in Warsaw. And to be able, and they've digitized, by the way, all of that infrastructure. So that means they have the maps of where the pipes are. So now they have even put sensors so that they can detect one of the bigger issues, which is leakage, and then do preventive maintenance on it. So it seems, you know, trivial, but think about it, how even public sector organizations are able to take advantage of some of the state-of-the-art capabilities like machine learning, like IoT, and change the services that citizens get. That is the spectrum. A startup that's really creating a next generation marketing cloud, or a public sector organization using the same cloud infrastructure to change what citizens can experience on a day-to-day basis. Now that, to me, leads me to sort of talk about what is happening worldwide with Cortana Intelligence and AI. So let's roll the video to give you a flavor for what developers are building using some of the AI capabilities in Azure. Let's roll the video. So I want to close out by talking about our third ambition around creation of more personal computing. When we conceptualized Windows 10, we conceptualized it as a service, focused around the mobility of the human experience across all of the computing in your life. Because we felt that building a device operating system, of course, is super important. Keeping it secure is super important. But where we are going is to a world where there is ubiquitous computing. And what you need is a new paradigm for how you think about an operating system. It has to span all of your devices. And that's really the work that we have done with the unified platform. Everything from Xbox to the HoloLens is one developer platform, one store for developers, and that's what we've been hard at work at. And as part of that, we're also inventing new computers. We created the first two-in-one, a tablet that can replace your laptop with Surface. We launched even Surface Hub, which was a conference room computer with cameras, with great speech input, with ink, so that you could collaborate and bring teams together. We also created a new desktop computer with Surface Studio, where you now have a touch, something, a computer, a desktop that can tilt, a dial for precision, and so completely changing again how and what you can expect from what is a desktop or an all-in-one. But perhaps more than anything else, in terms of category creation and invention of new computers, the thing that intrigues us, and it is fascinating for me to come here and even see the kinds of applications people are building with this new medium, this new platform, is mixed reality. Because to me, the ultimate computer is the one that just disappears in front of your eyes. Or in other words, when you see the world, you see not only the real world, but you also in your field of view have the augmented world, the mixed world. And that, to me, is what we have set out to do with HoloLens. We think of the VR to AR is just a dial of opacity. So we ultimately think that the applications that you built will be able to adjust how immersive you want to be. And that's really the platform that we are building with what we are doing with Windows 10 and mixed reality. I also had a chance to meet with developers who are exploiting already this new medium in a variety of different ways. MedApp is a company whose founder I had a chance to meet, and I think you heard from him earlier today even in terms of what they're doing. They are trying to revolutionize cardiac care, going from this very reactive cardiac care to a much more proactive care. So that means one is doing the streaming of all of the data from a variety of different diagnostic devices, and then to be able to do things which are predictive. In fact, it's sort of, when I was talking to the gentleman who is doing the AI work behind this, he was talking about how do you really build AI that you can introspect. In other words, the doctor cannot be operating with just a black box. The doctor wants to operate with an AI capability that they can actually interrogate and introspect in. And so the idea of being able to bring data science to cardiac care is revolutionary, but they're not stopping there. But what if they can use HoloLens as a way for the cardiac surgeon to essentially play forward the surgery, for them to be able to completely visualize the heart, its living condition, before any invasive surgery? I think it's going to change the medical outcomes for anyone with cardiac history. And so that's a fantastic use case of a multiple of our platforms coming together to change health outcomes. I also had a chance to this morning meet with another developer. In fact, Sanfino is a startup that was formed by two gentlemen who went through the Imagine Cup competition and met as part of the Imagine Cup competition right here in Poland, and decided that they loved working with each other so much that they wanted to create a startup. And so it's a software consultancy. They do many, many different projects. They've now opened even a New York office and are, in fact, building out solutions using HoloLens. They had a chance this morning to even show one of the applications that they're building to the Deputy Prime Minister of Poland, and he was wearing the HoloLens and very excited to see the innovation and what it could do for architecture, what it can do for industrial design. So it's fantastic to see that type of innovation. But one of the other things that it was really a pleasure for me to be able to do today was not only talk about Senfino, but was also the announcement we made this morning that they, in partnership with ENY and us, are creating this Startberry, which is basically an accelerator for other startups to be able to get at resources, their experience, so that they can, in fact, scale their enterprise fast. So it's fantastic to see not only that first-generation entrepreneur thrive, but also commit themselves to helping other entrepreneurs get started. And to showcase some of the great work that's happening with this new medium of HoloLens, I just wanted to roll a video for you to be able to see the types of applications that are getting built all over the world. Let's roll the video. Whenever I read that tagline that we use to describe mixed reality, I think it captures the essence of what it means to be a developer. When you change the way you see the world, you change the world you see. I think is the opportunity that all of us have, in particular, all of you have in front of you. Of course, it's more than technology, though. What inspires each one of us is the impact that we have in the world. And a lot of what we do commercially is changing health outcomes, educational outcomes, bringing prosperity in the core industries of our economies. But it also is having an impact in the nonprofit sector. The Polish Humanitarian Group is one of the thriving nonprofits right here that's doing work all over the world. In fact, they're right now working on wells in South Sudan, in Somalia, in Ukraine, in Iraq. They have around 500 people in their staff who are in hazardous conditions, bringing humanitarian aid, helping with water security, food security. And one of their big needs, of course, is how do they stay coordinated? And so they are using the power of software, power of SaaS services, but to really change the outcome of the people who need it most in places where technology has not yet reached them, but technology can reach them through the work of this software developer. And so to me, that opportunity is what inspires us all. And I hope that I can come back in the years to come to Poland and see how you are grabbing hold of the opportunities in front of us. Not only are you able to see the world, but you change the world you see. Thank you all so very, very much. Thank you.